One Man's Family, winner of 44 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, a crowded day at the barber's. Father Barber, coming into the hall from the bright sunshine of an April morning, finds his eyes adjusting slowly to a disturbing sight. Two suitcases and a duffel bag await transport at the foot of the stairs. He blinks at a tag and reads, Major Teddy Barber, U.S. Army Nurse Corps, Brook Medical Center, San Antonio, Texas.
Fanny! What's all this? Oh, Fanny!
Father, she's gone out.
Where is she, Hazel? Where did your mother go?
Teddy went around the neighborhood to say goodbye to everybody, and Mother went with her.
But I thought Teddy would leave tomorrow.
Her plans have changed.
Hmm?
Where were you? We've been trying to find you.
I thought Teddy had 8 days and her travel time. That gives her till tomorrow night.
She's hitchhiking in an army plane, Father, and she had a chance to go today.
Yes.
Come in the library. What happened to you, anyway? We looked everywhere. You'd vanished.
Just went out for a walk, that's all. Didn't know the bottom would fall out.
Honestly, it's the difference of one day. Teddy was offered a ride in an army transport, so naturally she took it.
Variable as a spring breeze. Yes, upsets the apple cart.
She'll be flattered to hear you feel so strongly.
Hazel.
Yes?
I'll confide something, but I don't want it to go any further.
Oh, dear, now what? Father, what have you done now?
Very well, if that's your attitude, I'll tell nobody.
Now, please, Father, what is it?
Never mind.
I just hope you're not interfering in Teddy's love life.
I have my friendships. Teddy can have hers. I interfere with nobody.
What were you going to tell me?
We'll forget it.
Something about Teddy?
Never mind.
About Harvey DeWitt Clinton?
Let it go.
People are beginning to suspect you had something to do with Mr. Clinton's being called back to Detroit.
Well, who said so?
There's been quite a lot of talk.
Pay no attention to gossip. People don't have enough to do.
Mm-hmm. Father, I'll tell you something out of my own experience, if you listen.
I'm listening.
If you want Teddy to marry General Roderick Z.L. Stone, the best way to promote it is not to show an open preference for him.
Yes.
There's something about your approval which seems to send younger people into the opposite direction.
That, as an observation, approaches insult.
It's human nature, that's all. Well, I'm sorry if I sounded sharp. I don't mean it that way.
That's all right.
What were you going to tell me?
Let it go. Let it go. I'll figure out how to handle it without confiding in anybody.
Is Henry here?
Yes, yes, Fanny. Here I am. Teddy with you?
Hazel, they've been trying to get us from Elko. Nobody answered the telephone. Margaret has gone to the hospital to have her baby.
Oh, no.
What's this? What's all this?
Oh, my word. When did they call?
Half an hour ago. They'll telephone again as soon as there's any news.
Where did you hear all this?
Well, Walter Lawrence called Betty when they couldn't get an answer over here. Henry, where did you go?
Let me get long distance.
Oh, no, please don't.
Eh?
Walter said keep the line clear and have somebody at hand answer.
Yes, I don't understand this. That baby isn't due till May.
Well, it's the 30th of April.
Oh, dear. Dan and I were going next Sunday. We thought that'd be plenty of time.
I know what happened. Walter Lawrence hired so many doctors, they got their signals crossed.
Any news yet?
Oh, come in, Teddy. We're in the library.
Betty says she'll be right over.
Well, Father Barber, you disappeared this morning.
I made the signal mistake of going out for a walk, and now the roof falls in. I want to talk to you, Teddy. I took the liberty of... I'll get it.
I'm right here, Father. Yes? Hello? Oh, yes, Walter? Yes? Yes? Oh, 8 pounds, 4 ounces. Oh.
Why, a girl?
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, Walter, thanks for phoning.
Big baby.
For a little girl. How is Maggie?
Well, give her my love. Dan and I'll leave tonight.
Boy or girl?
Give Margaret my love and kiss the little boy for me.
Boy? Did you say boy?
Oh, Henry.
Thank you, Walter. See you soon. Well, folks, Margaret has a very easy time of it. A little boy, and he's fine, and she's fine, and... Oh, it's always the same. A big relief to everybody.
Yeah, well, turned into quite a day.
I'm sorry, I'm leaving.
Teddy, you'll have to change your mind again. There's a very special reason you should wait till tomorrow.
Why, Father Barber, what?
Eh? Oh, yes, yes. Come in the living room and we'll have a conference. Come along. This is a private matter.
Excuse us, please.
All right, Teddy.
Now what do you suppose he's up to? If you'd give me one guess, I'd say it had something to do with General Roderick Z.L. Stone.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
You've just been indicted for murder in the first degree. You've been arraigned. You're brought to trial, to the courtroom. But there is someone missing. Your lawyer, your counsel. You have none. You ask for legal help and the judge tells you no. Wait a minute, you say. That can't happen here. And you're right. But it could have if a small group of wise men in silk stockings and knee breeches hadn't met in New York City March 4th, 1789, the first Congress. And if they hadn't been far-sighted enough to amend our Constitution with a Bill of Rights, making these 10 amendments the enduring law of the land. The Sixth Amendment in that document of human freedom is the one which interests us here. It is the one which begins on those simple words which mean so much. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. And it ends with these words of justice. And he shall have the assistance of counsel for his defense. There is the basis for your protection in courtroom procedure. You may have a lawyer appointed by the court to represent you, should you ever have the need. You needn't beg a judge for mercy, because you haven't the gift to tell your own true story well enough to sway a jury. You needn't beg anything of anyone under our Bill of Rights. That's why they were created by men like Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, in order to establish justice. Never forget the all-important Sixth Amendment. It is one of our freedoms.
It's 2 hours later. Father Barber is concluding his 14th phone call in the library.
Yes, Fred. Walter Lawrence hired too many doctors. They confused the issue. But Margaret came through it nicely in spite of them. 8 pounds.
Henry,
Fred, Fanny just walked in. Eh? I'll tell her. All right, Fred. Goodbye. Fred Thompson, he said to congratulate you on being a great-grandmother for the umpteenth time.
Henry, if you continue to talk so much, you'll lose your voice.
What did Daniel and Hazel decide to do?
Well, Hazel's packing. They'll start for Elko this afternoon.
Yes. Who came in? Oh, Paul. Hello.
Well, Dad, what's the matter with your voice?
He's been broadcasting the news about Margaret and the baby.
Anybody left to tell?
Not if they can be reached by phone.
Didn't get Glenn Hunter. He was out.
Paul, did Teddy get away all right?
Lane left right on the dot. She'll be back next month, she says. Send her love to everybody.
Did you have any lunch?
Now, that's a sensible question. What's on the menu?
Well, you sit right here. We were finishing a salad when all the excitement struck. I'll fix the tray.
Mom, call me and I'll come out.
Oh, you let me handle this, if you please.
Did Teddy say anything to you? But did she mention... Did she...
Well, how many people did you call?
Paul, there is something I'll tell you, but I don't want it to go any further.
Going to confess, are you?
What do you mean?
Teddy's on to you. There's a pretty general suspicion you wired Detroit about Harvey Clinton so they'd know he was through here and call him back.
Young man did a good job in my car. I felt his bosses should hear of it.
I'm not too sure Teddy appreciates your effort.
And she doesn't know all of it at that. I also sent a telegram to... I got it.
You better let me talk.
Henry Barber speaking. Oh, Glenn, been trying to get you. Fanny and I are great-grandparents again. Eh? Margaret had a baby boy, 8 pounds, doing fine. Hazel and Daniel will drive over to Elko tonight and take the presents. Oh, well. Voice is gone.
Here, better let me take that. Judge? Paul. No, Dad's all right. Been spreading the news, that's all. Worn his vocal cords to a thread.
Tell him I'll call him back. I'm going to go and gargle.
Judge, he'll call you back. I'll tell her. Okay, goodbye. He says to take care of yourself.
Paul.
Yes?
I have something important to tell you about General Roderick Stone.
What did you say, Dan?
Never mind. I'll gargle and be right back.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Let's talk about people for a minute. According to the dictionary, Mr. Webster defines people as a body of persons united by a common character, culture, or sentiment. You'll notice that he uses the word united, just as our Constitution does in the preamble when it speaks of we, the people of the United States. The Constitution is filled with examples of people united by a common character, culture, or sentiment. But it is in the preamble that that unity is expressed perhaps the best. Just stop for a moment and think about the phrasing of the preamble. Although written in 1787, the 52 words of the preamble form a perfect definition of our way of life today, over 150 years later. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Yes, it was we, the people, who ordained and established the Constitution. And through the intervening years, we have continued to recognize it as the supreme law of the land. But when our general welfare, justice, liberty, or the defense of our country was in any way threatened or violated, we were given the constitutional right to make what amendments we considered necessary. That's how your American Constitution works.
It's midnight now. In the darkness of the master bedroom, Mother Barber is sitting up in bed.
Henry? I think Paul went downstairs to let someone in. Henry, can you speak now?
One, two, three.
My goodness, it's worse.
Doesn't hurt. Husky, that's all.
Why, it's laryngitis. Come in. We're awake. That you, Paul?
How's Dad? Can he talk yet?
I'm all right, Paul. What's going on?
No better, huh?
Paul, did someone forget his key?
No, Mom. It's General Roderick Stone. He expected to find Teddy here. He had a wire from Dad yesterday inviting him to come back to Seacliff.
Henry, what in the world have you done now?
Yes, Fanny, I'll explain everything when I get my voice back. Settle him in, Fanny. Be a good hostess.
Oh, that man.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 33, Book 126, New Move in an Old Game. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 44 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.